Hey guys, this is Mike Badano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
Once again,
I didn't see.
You didn't see? You're supposed to look for that. That's like your thing now.
That's
your thing now.
My thing is the number six.
Yeah, you said it the past two times. Anyways, Stars win! 4-0, baby! Yes! 7-3 win on the shoulders of Ottinger and our boy Ty Dellandrea and our boy Tenskaryanov and our boy Pavelski. And who else can we name? Haskinen and Alexiak and Tanner Kiro. He had a good game. He even had an assist. What a game!
Well, I think you hit all the points. I think we're good. All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Shortest podcast ever. All right. Well, for real, there are so many different storylines that we could go with tonight. Which one do you want to do first? Which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the goalie, Mr. Yeah. Otter.
Not bad for his first NHL start. He gets a 19 save win out of 22 shots. That's not too bad at all.
So first of all, some kind of shocking news this afternoon. I wasn't expecting that, obviously, from last podcast. You thought it was a good idea, and I kind of agreed with you that it would be a good idea to get him in against the Red Wings before a better team like the Canes. And obviously, the coaching staff agreed with you. Someone asked, I don't remember which media guy it was, but he asked if this was like the plan from the beginning to Bones.
I think it was Heike.
So it was something that they planned before even Dobby started playing out of his mind. And they just stuck with the schedule. So in that case, I agree with it. So if you make a schedule for which goalie is starting when, then go through with it. So I think that's really good. And he did play decent. He stopped pucks, right? He wasn't outstanding. We noticed like his biggest problem was rebound control.
Especially Zach. I gotta give a shout out to Zach for that. He noticed that very, very early on. And then as soon as he said that, I'm like, ooh, there's another one. Ooh, there's another one. Yeah. And you're right about that.
The first two goals were rebounds. So, I mean, well, the first one wasn't really a rebound. It was a weird deflection. But The second one was a pretty bad rebound that just bounced way up in the air and was it was a nice bat out of the air. But lots of big rebounds given up. But he still played decently. And more importantly, the team played better in front of him.
Right. See, that's the most important thing for me, is especially when you start a rookie goaltender or even just a new goaltender, someone who's new. You want to give him the support, and boy, did he ever get some support. He could have given up six goals and still won the game.
Seven goals will do.
Yeah. So let's take a look at some of his stats for tonight. He's 20 for 23, excuse me, not 19 for 22. He had an .870 save percentage, and he was on the ice for every last minute except for 3 seconds. So not bad.
Yeah, it's very decent, very respectable. He did his job. We won the game. We're happy with it. If he can do that, keep us in games, then we're going to win a good amount of them. We don't need him to be the guy who takes over games and just carries it for us. We need him to play solid, which he definitely did.
Yep, and he did that for the Stars tonight. Exactly right. So, oh, goodness gracious. I love to see his first NHL start is his first NHL win. And did you see that smile on his face when he hugged?
Yeah, when Dellandrea was going with him. I mean, they went through the minors together, so that's got to be a really cool feeling to get your first goal the same time your buddy gets his first win. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, what I think was even awesome is Rhett Gardner got into the lineup today, and him and Ottinger were roommates for a majority of the time when they were down with the AHL Texas Stars. So it was cool to see Gardner get to join in on Ottinger's first start. I just thought that was pretty cool. So goodness gracious. Well, you kind of already mentioned it, but let's kind of segue to Mr. Ty Dellandrea. He finally gets rewarded for all of the hard work that he's put in. I mean, Matthew DeFranks tweeted this again, just like we pointed out last podcast. The only person that had more ice time than Ty Dellandrea among the forwards was Joe Pavelski. And he finally gets his first NHL point, which happens to be a huge turning point in the game because it was starting to look a little scary there for a second, and then he scored that fifth goal of the game for the Stars.
Yeah, definitely. It's super cool to see him get rewarded and double tonight. He also gets an assist, so he gets his first goal and first assist tonight. Two-point game. He totally deserves it. I mean, everyone who watched the first four games of the season knew that it was coming. Like, Ty Dellandrea has been playing like a top six forward. So it's been really awesome to see him come through. I wish we had brought him up last year, honestly. But, you know, he's here now and he's doing good stuff.
Well, it's going to make it really hard for when we have to when we get all these players back. Would he still be slated in the lineup if we get all he will be. I'm for sure he will be.
Yeah, if they take Ty Dellandrea out of the lineup now, Stars fans are going to riot.
Yeah, he's arguably been one of our best well-rounded players to begin this 4-0 season.
Forwards.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
He's
he
been
is.
Fantastic.
Well, overall, he was he actually had a lot less time on ice tonight, which was kind of different. So 12.
Well, 7 penalty kills will do that.
Yeah, that is true. But he still played 3 minutes and 43 seconds on shorthanded. So
he's not the shorthanded guy, though.
Right. That's Foxa. Foxa is the shorthanded guy. But I mean, his stats look great. 67% on in the faceoff dot. A goal, an assist, he was plus one. He did have that penalty, which was kind of stupid, but I guess it was kind of a penalty at the same time.
Yeah, let's mention that real quick.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Penalties to 2.25. Like, I don't know what that was about. None of them looked egregious. And, like, normally when penalties are that far apart, they don't call the ticky-tacky ones. But, like, goodness, it seems like they were trying to make a game out of it, but worked out, I guess. That's all I really want to say about it. It's just, like, gross.
Well, so Detroit goes 1-for-7, which is pretty bad considering they got 7 power plays. Now, some of them were some of them were a little bit shorter, but I really wish they would fix that stat. You know, like, 2 minutes on a power play is very different than 45 seconds when it's, like, a, you know, when another penalty is called during a power play. I really wish they would find some way to fix that. Anyway, that's not the point. And then the Stars go 1-for-3 on the power play as well. So their dominance in the power play continues. This is their 3 out of the 4 games that they've scored a power play goal, or have all 4 big games been scored on the power play?
I don't know. I think all 4 have.
I think all 4, actually, now that I think about it. So now, so I will say that some of the more than half of the penalties were definitely, you know, calls. But
apart. Like, there's stuff they could have called on Detroit is, like, my issue. Like, they're being super touch foully with us, and they weren't with Detroit.
Right.
So I don't know. It just it felt very unbalanced. But I mean, we won the game. Who cares?
Well, the thing is we got to stop. We really got to stop making excuses for stuff like that, and we just kill it off. Because honestly, that's gonna happen in the playoffs if we make the playoffs. So, listen to me. If we make the playoffs, when we make the playoffs, I'll say that there's gonna be some ticky-tacky calls that may or may not change the dynamic of a series, and might as well do it now when the games don't matter as much. So,
yeah, well, and we showed our penalty kill is outstanding as well. So it's like 1-for-7, like. That's pretty really bad for Detroit, good. But like if you look at the way we were killing those, they were all great kills. So and I mean the one they score on was a great bat out of midair off of a juicy rebound giving up by Otter. So I think the penalty kills look great. Again, that's against two of the worst teams in the division. So I'm very excited to see how a very broken Dallas Stars team plays against some better teams coming up.
Well, you kind of have to take a step back on that, though, and we're kind of segueing away from some of the stuff we want to talk about. But anyways, Carolina has been off for a while now as well because they've had a bunch of players in protocol as well. And then it was announced today that the Golden Knights had their game postponed because of COVID protocol as well. They had their entire coaching staff out, and Kelly McCrimmon, their GM, who actually has some coaching experience, went out with the Henderson AHL crew and, you know, coached the NHL Golden Knights to a 5-4 shootout loss. So that was interesting. But I don't think we're going to see the best out of Carolina, unfortunately, which really stinks because I want to see how this team meshes against
Carolina. Well, I mean, we're not seeing the best out of the Stars. we have three of our arguably best players on our roster that aren't playing. And then we have others that are outstanding as well.
But we still have a full team game, which is different than a lot of other clubs. Like Edmonton,
that's another thing I want to talk about again. Like, I know I've already talked about it, but the depth of the Stars is outstanding. Like, especially tonight. Tonight we see Caro and Dowling. Like, guys that aren't going to they're not going to develop into great players. Like, these are guys who are who they are. They're going to be grinders. They're great hockey players, but they're not going to become superstars. But they know that, and they grind for everything that they get, and they earn everything that they get. And the Stars have so many players like that that we benefit so much from just the way hockey works. Like, people are going to get hurt. And even now, I guess people are going to get sick from the weird pandemic area. Mm-hmm. But, like, we always have someone who can fill the slot. And like Bone said in the post game, like, they don't just fill a spot. They don't just go in and, like, wear this jersey, we'll take you out next game. There's always, like, something they expect you to do. It's like, we expect Ty Dellandrea to try and score goals. L'Espérance, he better try and score goals because they're goal scorers. Even if it's just in the AHL, they're expected to go out there and try and score a goal because that's their job on the team. So, and I think they do that every single time. And, like, Dowling and Caro, their job is to grind for pucks, win forechecks, and that's what they're doing. And they're getting rewarded for it this game. So I think people are knowing their roles and fulfilling them. And I think that's why the Stars are working so well right now, especially with their depth.
So looking at the score sheet, and if I'm counting correctly, there were only 7 players that did not register a point tonight.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a tough time with the player that stands out that's not on the score sheet because there's so many people on the score sheet.
So, so you were just talking about him, but I am very impressed with the play of Tanner Caro right now. Just a guy that seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, no Stars fans really knew about this guy, including myself, to be honest with you. I saw his name on the training camp roster, but after that I didn't, you know, think twice about it. But it just goes to show you how great Jim Neal is about finding these depth guys just out of nowhere and being able, you know, to have Rick Bowness fill these guys in whenever they're needed.
Yeah, and they're both perfect taxi squad guys for the way this year works, too. Like, Dowling and Caro, they've already played a decent amount of games. So they know how hockey works. They know how to play. They don't need that experience because they have it. And so when you throw them into a game when they've been sitting out for a couple weeks maybe, they're going to be able to play at a high level. So I think that's why having those guys is going to be such an advantage this year, even as the season moves along.
Well, and they were technically our second scoring line today. Dowling, Caro, no, not Caro. Dowling, Gerionov, and Dickinson. And all three registered a point tonight. Dickinson with an assist. Love my man Dickinson. Geary with a goal and 2 assists. And then Dowling with a goal and an assist. So it's, and I know it's against teams that we should beat already. But given the fact that, again, let's mention the players that are not here right now. All of our tops, I mean, 4 out of our top 6 forwards are not in the lineup right now. And out of the 3 games that we have played, one of the games we scored 7 goals. And then, you know, last game we only got 2, but we were able to get enough to win the game. So it just, I'm trying not to get too excited because I'm scared I'm going to get really excited and then we go and play against some,
the Lightning, you know, get destroyed.
Right, exactly. Like, go up against a Carolina, or when we finally get a chance to go against Tampa Bay, you know, and then we fall back to earth with a giant loss, like a 7-0, like Nashville or something. But it's hard not to be excited right now about the Stars team.
Yeah, definitely true. It feels like they've been playing fantastic. It feels like they picked up where they left off in the playoffs, even without big key guys. And it feels like when they come back, it can only get better. So yeah, it's definitely exciting.
Well, and that's the same. The what's funny about this, well, think about the Stanley Cup final. How many of our biggest key guys were out in the Stanley Cup final? There were a lot. I mean, Dowling was in, Hanley was in, Fedun was in, you know, all who I can't even think off the top of my head who else was in, but we had all these players who are depth guys who were in there, and we were two wins away from the Stanley Cup final, even with those guys. So we pushed Tampa Bay to a sixth game. So, and I completely agree with you on the fact that this is just a continuation of the bubble playoffs, basically, for the Stars. And what's perfect about this is that it kind of still feels like the bubble in a way. Lots of games in a short amount of time, and, you know, Dobby is still the starter, technically, and he's playing great. Speaking of which, did you see his stats? I think it was, like, right before the second period started.
Yeah,
so it was insane. It was, like, 3-0. He has a .958 save percentage. That is insane. And then he's got a .99 goals against average. That's absolutely crazy. Do what?
For $3.5 million a year.
Yeah, $3.5 million a year. You too can have the greatest stats in the NHL and only make $3.5 million a year. And then, you know, Carey Price, who is arguably the best goaltender in the league, makes what, $10 million, $10.5 million, $11 million, something like that. That's insane. So, all right. So, yeah. My goodness.
I got key guys to talk about.
Who you got?
We got Denis Gurianov. Played outstanding today once again. These first four games, he's been out of his mind. He's been crazy. Like, he's been making every single play has been good. He's been moving his feet fast. He's been shooting every time the puck is on his stick, which is good. And somehow he still finds a way to get two assists tonight. So he's finding the score sheet every way he can, and that's his job. So that's pretty fantastic.
Well, and he's getting more ice time too, which a lot of Stars fans complained about in the bubble playoffs. Rick Bonus listened to us, Chris. He listened to our podcast specifically for advice, and he listened to us. That's what it was, right? It was us. So you're welcome, Stars fans. It was me and Chris who helped.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I got to mention Kiro again because look at his ice time, Chris. 15 minutes and 7 seconds for a guy who was on the taxi squad 3 games ago. That's absolutely...
And we'll likely go back to the taxi squad in a few games here.
right, when we get some of these players back. And, you know, I wonder if some of these players possibly could have played tonight. But with the way the Stars are playing right now, maybe Bonus was kind of like, you know, this is the Detroit Red Wings. This is one of our lesser opponents. We're playing really well. You guys just stay away. We're doing okay. And then if we really, really absolutely need you, then you can come in.
But yeah, I definitely think the question is, if this was a playoff game, which ones would play? I think all three of them would play. I think Hintzpin and Komo would play. But right. Again, this is the beginning of the season. We're on a winning streak. Other guys are very hot right now. Like, play it safe. Like, we got an old team, so let's just let them be old and figure themselves out.
Okay, so here's a noticeable player. You know, it's kind of funny to say in a detrimental way, him being noticeable. You mean you're not a good noticeable because he had 3 assists tonight. But Miro Heiskanen, he did have 3 assists tonight, which is great.
And he still is good.
But something looks off.
You mentioned that. It's his stick checks. So remember, we always would talk about how great of a stick checker he was. So that's like you use your stick to get the puck or lift their stick or something. That's a stick check. So okay. He would always make the smoothest stick checks, and he'd make them every single time. So it feels like he's just not getting those sometimes now. Like he'd get the one-handed sweeping poke checks and just cleanly steal it and take it the other way. It just doesn't feel like he's getting those for some reason. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think the where we're seeing him not look as good is on the defensive side of the puck.
Which is weird.
Yeah, which is weird. But, I mean, he's still seeing the ice the way he does, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's still seeing it with the great hockey sense that he has. That's why he has 3 assists in this game. So, I'm still thinking, like, maybe there's just either just slow start since he didn't play much practice before the season, or he still might have, like, a little sickness brain or something, and that's why he can't make the plays as easily, I guess. I don't know, but it seems like his hockey sense is there, but his hands aren't making the beautiful plays that we were seeing in the playoffs and stuff. But in conclusion, I think Heiskanen is amazing, and he will be fine, and he'll get better as the season moves on.
Well, yeah, I agree with you completely. And
he's like the only guy on our team who isn't hot right now. Like, everyone else on the team is playing crazy good.
Well, no. Well, we say that he's not hot, but he just...
And then he scores three assists.
So that's the scary part about all of this, is that we have all of these players, and like you, and I'll give you credit for that, this, Chris. You said if one of these guys does really well, then we just need one thing to happen. And it seems like all of these things have happened, plus extra. Dowling has stepped up. Gardner has stepped up. Kiro has stepped up in a huge way.
Yeah, and we needed that because even more people were hurt than I thought. Right. Because I didn't know Ben and Henson and Koma were going to go out, but they did, and now even more people have stepped up. So now that there's that many people out, we do kind of need like three people to step up, and they have. So, yeah.
And we haven't even mentioned him, Pavelski. He gets another goal. That's a four game point streak to start the season. And how old is he?
Too many.
We joked about this on Discord when we were watching the game. We were like, he's 27, right? Right?
Yeah, definitely 27.
And then Zach was like, no, he's going for the Calder. So he's looking like... He just looks fantastic. I mean,
yeah, I mean, gracious. It feels like him and Gurianov are pretty much picking up the team and putting it on their backs.
Right, and this is the Gurianov that we had hoped to see about 2 or 3 years ago when he first was really starting to, you know, make a name for himself in the AHL. He's starting to score all these goals and stuff, and then he got that opportunity up at the big club with the Stars, and he didn't really, you know, fully embrace that. And this past year, he started really taking the steps. And then, obviously, in the bubble, he really took the steps. And now he's really starting to establish himself as, a first-line winger.
I mean, so far the stats this year shows that he's a superstar, right. Which is what we're hoping for. And I think they kind of learned from how Gurianov developed. So, like, we brought him in, right, for – it was, like, a good 2 weeks, I think. And he didn't really do that well because he wasn't playing like Denis Gurianov. He was trying to play like he's a bottom six forward, but his game doesn't do that. That's not the way Denis Gurianov plays hockey. He plays hockey to score goals. And once he finally figured out, like, I don't care if I'm on the third line. I'm going to play like I'm a first line forward. And he did that, and he started scoring a ton of goals. So that's the way he just plays hockey, is he plays like he's the only guy on the ice. And for some people, that's just the way you have to play. You think Ovechkin. Like, Ovechkin will just take the puck sometimes and try and do something. And, like, he'll look super stupid sometimes. And other times, he'll make crazy goals on his back and fling him into the net. That's just kind of the way he plays hockey, right? So once he figures out that he needs to play the way Denis Gurianov plays hockey and not try and play the way Cogliano plays hockey, then he was great.
And Cogs got a goal tonight, too.
That was me segueing into giving a shout-out to Cogs. It was the most Cogliano goal ever, is what I said. Like, it wasn't even a shot. The net was just open, and he just fought through somebody and, like, dug a tunnel under the ice and got to the puck and just shoveled it in. It's like, if you ever want to show somebody the way Cogliano plays hockey, all you have to do is show them that goal and say, like, that's his best goal ever.
But that was an absolute perfect goal. I mean,
that's the way Cogs is going to score goals, right, if he scores them. So if he scores a goal, that's the way I want him to score it. So it goes along with what I was saying. Everybody's fulfilling their roles. So checking lines are checking good. Scoring lines are shooting. And, like, even the bottom line. So the fourth line that we have
was excellent tonight. Oh,
they're not guys. Yeah.
They look great.
They're not playing that much, but they're still playing the way they play. Like, L'Esperance, like, he knows he's a scorer. So he's going to try and score. He takes shots all the time. So, like, that's what I love about it, too, is, like, these guys aren't just hanging back there and just filling up space. They're playing their hockey, even if they, quote-unquote, don't belong there, which it's obvious that line isn't a great quality NHL line yet. But, like, they're going to be there, and they're still playing their hockey, which I think is what the coaching staff learned from Gurianov to finish that whole point.
And you know what? I give full credit to Bonus. Like when the pause happened, he went into his whole, okay, this is my team mode, because he finally got a chance to like chill out after Montgomery was fired, because he was just kind of shoved in there, and he just kind of kept Montgomery's system and just went, basically. But with the pause, what was really nice is that he was able to figure out some things that really helped the Stars, including getting the defensemen more involved from the point, shooting from the point, and getting those tips, those garbage goals, those extra goals that the Stars need. And that's how they played in the bubble playoffs. And he told Gerionov to shoot. Dennis, shoot the puck. And he finally listened. And now the Stars are reaping the rewards of coaching.
And I mean, our offense is still flowing through the defense. Like, 5 points from defensemen tonight. Like, that is Dallas Stars offense right there.
Two goals.
Two goals. Yeah. It's great. So, super cool. Also, I'm going to give a shout out to Lindell, because he's been playing great and defensively and not noticeable the way he always does. Even though I hate plus minus, I'll give you the plus minus stat, plus four. Which normally, like, plus minus isn't really a big thing, but like when you're plus four, like when it's that substantial, like you're doing something right.
it's more substantial over a short period of time, so like a 3 to 5 game, you know, range. But over a season, yeah, I agree with you, it's kind of dumb. But no points, so no points. But he was on the ice,
yeah,
4 times when the Stars scored tonight.
And so, that's Lindell's job. Lindell's job is to not get points and to be a mop for Klingberg in case he messes up.
And speaking of a mop for Klingberg, the mop for Miro tonight had an excellent game tonight. Alexiak on both sides of the puck. He got the goal. So, and I mean, poor, what's his face? Was it Grice at that point who never saw it? I don't remember. Because Bernier had
it
in the middle of the game, but... But Grice couldn't even see the shot, but it was a great shot. I mean, and I've noticed Alexiak a lot over the past 4 games. He's wanted to get in to the offense, which has been weird.
Yeah, but he's doing it in the correct way too, though. Like he's still letting Haskinen be the star of that offense. He's still the puck mover. So if there's an option between Alexiak bringing the puck up the ice or Haskinen, he's going to give it to Haskinen. So he still knows who the guy is, but like if he gets the opportunity, he's always jumping in, and he's bought into the system the same way Lindell has. Like Lindell has a shorthanded goal. So like he knows when to go in, but he knows that he's not the guy to just take the puck and try and do something crazy.
Well, and not to mention Esa Lindell, you know, deked out the oh my gosh, what's the best defenseman award? I already forget. Oh my goodness. Tell me, Chris, what is it?
I forgot now too.
Oh my god, straight out of my head.
The best defenseman in the league. He deked him.
Yeah, he deked him. Roman Josi. And that's Roman Josi. Roman Josi is a good player. Look that up for me real quick. So, goodness gracious. I mean, there's so many
Selke.
Things to talk about. Selke, no, that's
no,
the,
that's the forward defenseman.
Come on,
Norris.
Norris, thank you. The Norris Award. He won the Norris this past year. Roman Josi did. Ugh, how long did that take us? That took us like 30 seconds. Goodness gracious.
I'm a high speed Googler.
Right. Okay, so taking a look at some of the last stats of this, because we've actually been talking about a lot of stuff. It's been good. Shots on goal for tonight in favor of the Stars, 29-30. Face-off percentage, dead split between the two of them, 50-50. 1-for-3 for the Stars on power play, 1-for-7 for the Detroit, which is terrible. Penalty minutes, 14 for the Stars, 6 for the Red Wings. Hits, 14-8 in favor of the Stars. Blocked shots, 21-7 in favor of the Dallas Stars. If that's not Dallas Stars hockey right there, I don't know what is. And then giveaways in favor of the Stars, 15-9.
Again, dumb stat, because it's easier to give the puck away when you have it 75% of the game.
Right. And I'm going to really narrow in to that block shot statistic, because I love the way the Stars played in front of Ottinger today. Yeah, Ottinger wasn't great, and he didn't control his rebounds and stuff.
Well, let's not say it like that. He was still good. I mean, he was still very good.
He was good enough to win the game. But the way
Like you keep degrading it. He was good. He played good.
Hey, no, hold on. No, if you're gonna degrade Dickinson, I'm gonna listen, your boy. Okay, so you be quiet. So, but anyways, the way the Stars played in front of him, 21 block shots. They tripled the amount of block shots that the Detroit Red Wings had. So
quick maths.
So even though we scored 7 goals in the game, that brand of defensive hockey from the Stars is still visible and it's still there, which makes me even more excited for the end of the season and to see where this Stars team goes. And you know what? So far, I've been eating my words on putting the Stars fourth in the quote-unquote Central Division, even though 5 of the opponents are from the Eastern Conference. So, Chris, go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong. It's your turn.
You're wrong. You're stupid.
Wrong. You have to hold it out longer.
No, you're just wrong. You're so wrong, it doesn't even deserve to be a big deal.
But you know what? I'm so happy I'm wrong about this. I was so scared. Especially with the Stars losing so many of their key players, and they've played absolutely excellent. So let's look forward to this weekend. We got 2 games this weekend, so y'all are going to get 2 podcasts in 2 days from me and Chris, so you're welcome, Stars fans. So
we didn't talk about the blackout jerseys.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Okay.
They were so cool. I love them.
Right?
The secondary logo looks so good. It's my favorite. The goalies need black pads. I don't care if they're not broken in. Wear the black pads anyway. I don't care. That would look so cool.
I agree with you. It would look really cool if they had black pads. And the jerseys did look. They looked awesome.
They looked sweet.
And when they first came out, everybody was all like, "They're okay." It was kind of a mixed bag. But it kind of seems like, and I'm noticing it on Twitter, that it's kind of pushing towards the other direction now that you know, more people are starting to be accepting of this blackout jersey. And the Stars really like it, and they're really pushing it. You know, when they put 10 games that they're going to wear this jersey for, that's pretty substantial because they're only wearing their regular Victory Green home jerseys for 15 of the games.
Yeah, so, it's a solid alternate jersey. Like, it's not, like, stupid, like the way some are. And it's different, yeah.
It's very different.
It's a complete change, but it's not, like, a joke. So, like, it's a normal hockey jersey. They just change the color, give you the secondary logo, and they make it sweet
skyline.
And neon. But, like, the stripe patterns, like, the stripes on the arms are super traditional. The stripes on the socks, super traditional. And then they put the crazy color on it, and it looks so cool. I think it's just fire. I think it's a real good combination of just classic hockey and, I don't know, futuristic-y, EASHL stuff. I don't know. But I think it looks awesome. I think it'll look really cool on the ice.
Oh, man. I'm really not looking forward to seeing the reverse retro jerseys, though.
I'm excited. I think they'll look good on the ice. I think they'll look very white. But
wait, where did they go?
Right.
Yes. Oh man, I don't know. We'll have to see. But you are correct. You know, the jersey by itself looks weird, you know, with a pair of jeans and sneakers. But like the full uniform looks
pretty clean
than the jersey by itself. So,
and white gloves. I love white gloves.
Yeah. I'm still not a big fan of the gloves they wore for the Winter Classic. I love the jersey, did not really like the gloves. So,
I liked it.
You liked it. Chris, am I forgetting anything else? Because there was a lot to talk about tonight. Anything else?
The Stars won. We did that hockey. We're 4-0. We're the only undefeated team now.
Right now, yep.
And we actually have won games, so it counts. It counts. We've played almost as many games as most of the teams. So, lots of teams only played 4 games.
There's a lot of the, especially the Canadian teams, have played like 7 or 8.
Okay. Okay, pretty much only the Central has teams that have only played 4 games. But anyway, who cares? We're freaking good.
And it's because of the Stars and the Canes that it's that way. I mean,
yeah.
Poor Florida Panthers. They just got kind of gotten screwed over all of this.
Nah, the Panthers suck.
Well, their first 2 games were against us, and then we had 17 players test positive.
Huh?
So those games were gone.
Oh, in the beginning of the season.
The original schedule, right, yeah. And then they played their 2 home games against, I don't even remember. And then they were supposed to go to Carolina, and then Carolina had an outbreak. So they've only played 3 games so far, I think, right? Or is it 4 now?
They played four.
They played 4? Okay. So they're 3-1. And the Stars
are
4-0. 3-0-1. Okay, so they lost in the – was it a shootout or overtime?
I don't know. Extra time.
Who cares? All right. Anyways, Stars win tonight by a final score of 7-3 for the second time in 4 games. They score 7 goals. We will catch you guys again on Saturday night when the Stars take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Hopefully they will – that game will go on as scheduled, no COVID stuff going on, and you'll get another one from us on Sunday night as well. Any last words, Chris?
Go listen to the radio show on the 365 stuffs.
365sportscast.com.
That's the one. Go there.
Yep. Sports Talk New York is also one of my other favorites, so go and check them out. They're on Sunday nights, I believe at 7 or 8 Central Standard Time, so go and check out their show. And, all that jazz. There's lots of other shows on there that are good as well. So,
but ours is the best.
All right, guys. Go follow us on Twitter, StarcasticR. You can like us on Facebook. You can also check our YouTube channel. I am going to do a video over the Jim Rutherford, resigning. So there's a lot of information out on that. He was the Pittsburgh GM. So he's out, and they're looking for a new GM, and he's citing personal reasons. So there will probably be one up on Friday sometime, probably Friday late in the evening, and I'll take care of that then. So go check out our YouTube channel. Good night, guys. We'll check you guys on the flip side.
Bye.
Go Stars.
Bye.
Bye.